Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Psalms. You at home, find your Bibles as well, or any of us have an app on our phone. We're going to again look at the book of Psalms today, and specifically Psalm 23. And so if you would turn with me to the kind of the middle of your Bible, Psalm 23, specifically this morning we are looking at verse 5. What we've said throughout this whole sermon series, and really this sermon series has lasted really all of this year, 2022, and what we're doing is we are taking it verse by verse, but we keep going back to that first phrase. That first phrase of this entire psalm that David writes says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this whole passage is about how great and how wonderful, how skillful, how knowledgeable of a shepherd we have. We have this fantastic shepherd, and the rest of the psalm testifies to this incredible shepherd that we have. We have a shepherd in whom we find everything we need, who restores our soul. We have a shepherd who gives us security in green pastures and who gives us rest in quiet waters. A shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness and safety. And as we follow after him day after day after day, we talked about how the shepherd's righteousness becomes our own. And last week we talked about how we go through those valleys of the shadow of death, how we go through those valleys of deep darkness. And that's not just in death, but in all those situations of life that are disturbing, that are hard, that are frustrating. And we talked about how the Lord is with us. And we don't need to be afraid of evil. In fact, we can be comforted. The Lord is with us wherever we go. Now this week we're going to take a look at the verse 5. And there's a little bit of a twist here in verse 5. Things change up just a little bit here, and I'm excited to explore that with you as how we understand our shepherd. So let's pray together, and then we will dive right in. So let's pray. God, it is always a gift to be able to gather together around your word. And today we again don't take that lightly. Today, again, we don't take that for granted. Lord, you have a word for us today, we trust, here in Psalm 23. Would you, by your Spirit's power, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to be open to what you have for us today? Lord, we love you. We love your word. Thank you that you are a shepherd and you take care of us, your sheep. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, what I love to do as we start out and looking at Psalm 23 is to invite all of us who are here in this space and all of you at, online at home, would love for all of us to say those first words together, that first important phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then I'll conclude with the rest of the psalm. And what I love for us to do is, again, listen to your own words, your own lips, your own voice, say these important words. Are you ready? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. We have named often in this sermon series that understanding the shepherding context is really crucial for us, because David is writing from something he knows so well. He knows what it is to be a shepherd, And so for us to understand the shepherding context even better has been helpful for us. And I think we've seen over the last several weeks how these important faith lessons, spiritual lessons, have arisen from the context itself. But something here today in verse 5 feels just a little bit different, doesn't it? I mean, I've been very honest with you that I don't understand a lot about shepherding. I've learned a lot about it in study for this passage, but when I've thought about shepherding, I never thought about a shepherd preparing a meal. Like, and the picture I have in my mind is like a picnic table meal for a sheep, you know, maybe even complete with a salad fork and the dessert dish and all that, right? And that's kind of what I get in my mind. And I never really thought about a shepherd dripping oil or dumping oil on the head of a sheep. And I never imagined, you know, I don't know much about sheep. I've told you that as well. But I never thought of a sheep, you know, taking a sip from a cup. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, do things feel just a little different when we look here at verse 5? Do you sense that as well? Something's changed. And maybe not so much changed, but what we have here is we have this large umbrella of the shepherding context. And we've been operating, learning more about a shepherd and what it means to be a shepherd and how that can impact us as sheep. And what we have here in verse 5 is we have this large shepherding context, and we really have a subcontext, something underneath the larger umbrella of shepherding. And what we have here is something that fits underneath the shepherding context, a subcontext that has stretched as far as the day is long. It's something that has been taking place all the way in the days of David, even past David to Abraham, and probably even before Abraham, and something that has lasted all the way to present day, to Israel, Palestine, Jordan, and all the other shepherding regions today. What we have within this larger shepherding context is this subcontext of a shepherd as a host. And what was true in the shepherding context of a shepherd as host back then in David's day is still true today. And that is the radical importance of the gift of hospitality. The radical importance of the gift of hospitality. See, shepherds are exceptionally gracious hosts. Imagine with me for a moment that you and I have been welcomed in to the dwelling of a shepherd. And it wouldn't matter if it was today. It wouldn't matter if it was David's day. If we were welcomed into the dwelling, a tent or a lean-to or whatever the shepherd might have, if we were welcomed into the dwelling of a shepherd, you and I would be assured of four things. The first is we would be assured of protection. A shepherd, a host, protects their guests at all costs, even above the care of their family. Second would be provision. We would receive something to eat and something to drink. Third, we would receive refreshment or rest, right? Where there'd be shade and shelter from the hot, scorching desert sun. We'd have shelter from the relentless, sand-filled winds. And the fourth thing is we would receive joy. And I know that one sounds just a little different, but it is an honoring thing to be welcomed into the home as a guest. There's great joy in being welcomed into a home. And we have this still today, yes? I know inviting people over on a consistent basis, sometimes that's a little bit of a lost art. But you know how you feel when you get invited over to someone's house. There's joy in that. You feel honored. You feel accepted. You feel welcomed. And I think about this, I say it's a little bit of a lost art because I remember as a kid, and even more so as a kid, hearing my parents talk about when they were kids, about how every Sunday night after evening worship, they were invited over to someone's house for coffee. And coffee consisted of probably some banana bread or a little dessert and coffee, which my parents don't drink, I don't drink, so that they still call it coffee. But every Sunday night after evening worship, they'd go to someone's house. And the kids would play in the basement with whoever's all the other kids that were there. And then the adults would sit upstairs and talk and laugh, and there'd be great joy. Do anybody remember that? Anybody experience something like that? Yeah. And so there's joy when you're welcomed into a home. There's refreshment. There's provision. There's protection. And as a guest who's welcomed into a host home, this is what you would certainly receive. Because for a host, their hospitality is their reputation. Not only is it an honor as a guest to be welcomed into a home, not only is it, you know, to come over for a meal, there's this social acceptance that takes place, but for a host, their reputation is on the line through their hospitality. I want you to check out this quote. We'll put it up here on the screen. This is a quote from George Lamza in his book called Shepherd of All. He writes this. Check this out. He says that in the East, a man's fame is spread by means of his table and lavish hospitality rather than by his possessions. Strangers and neighbors alike discuss tables where they have been guests. Such tales spread from one town to another and are handed down from one generation to another. There is considerable gossip as to how guests and strangers are entertained. It's interesting, isn't it? And so now what is David then saying here in verse 5 of Psalm 23? And he's boasting, is he not? That the Lord is an incredible host. That he, David, a sheep under the Lord's flock, a sheep under the Lord's care, he is an honored guest in the dwelling place, as we'll talk more about next week. He's an honored guest in the dwelling place of God, and David is boasting, and he's spreading the fame, and he's telling the tales that God is a generous host. He's establishing that God's reputation is to be passed down from one generation to the next, that our Lord is an extraordinary host, one who exhibits extraordinary hospitality. This is David's testimony in verse 5. And this is how he does it. You know, those same four things that we named a moment ago that we would receive, that we can expect to receive as a guest, all four of those are found here in Psalm 23, verse 5. Let's start with the very first thing David says. Look there with me. David writes, "You prepare a table before me." That phrase means that you get a meal ready. You get a meal ready. Now, think about preparing a meal today and what we have to go through for that, right? You know, we have to, if we invite somebody over, we need to pick out what are we going to eat. And then we got to check out, do we have the ingredients for that? And if not, we got to run to Hy-Vee or Aldi or Fairway and get the ingredients. And then we need to prepare the food, right? We have to cut it up or set it out on time or dice it up. And then we got to put it all together and bake it and cook it or fry it or whatever we're going to do with it. And you've got to do that with the main course. And you got to do that with the side dish and with the vegetables and the fruit and the dessert and have it all come out together at the same time. I mean, this is a time-consuming thing for us, right? A little bit different back in David's day. Couldn't just run to Hy-Vee. Maybe the little goat that was running around earlier in the morning was now on the table at night, right? I mean, you gotta think about it. You had to make the bread from scratch. I mean, you think about these things. It took a little more time, right? Time-consuming then, it's time-consuming now. There's effort that's put in to provide and to care for the guest. Now, some of you are listening to this, and you're like, that's nothing. That's easy. I love doing that. You know why? Because some of you, there is a spiritual gift called hospitality, and some of you have it, and you're a blessing to those around you. You think nothing of that work. I, on the other hand, I do not have the gift of hospitality in that way. Some of you do not have the gift of hospitality, right? It is painstaking. It's hard. It's laborious to think about those sorts of things. And I'm always like, hey, we're having people over. Let's throw something on the grill. Let's call it good, right? Just throw some burgers on the grill. Let's call it good. But there's this work, this effort of hosting and hospitality and providing. And David is saying that the Lord, he does this for us. He takes the time to prepare a meal for us. And the other thing we know about a meal is about this provision of eating is that eating together with another family or another person, it's really this intimate act, isn't it? I mean, 99% of dates are what? Maybe that's too high. 90% of dates are what? Let's go out to eat, right? Even Heather and I today, you know, we get a date night on the calendar. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's go out to eat. Okay, great, you know? But there's something about eating, about sharing a meal together that really takes down the walls that are built up as we share this moment of life together. David is saying that the Lord is a gracious shepherding host who provides for us, provides this meal for us. And it's a place where we can share time together, intimate time together in relationship with Him. The Lord provides. David also says that the Lord offers refreshment. And David writes this in the verse 5. He says, "You anoint my head with oil." All right, let's think about oil a little bit. What are all the different kinds of oil that we think of, right? We maybe think about motor oil, right? That kind of oil that you have to change in your vehicle every 5,000 miles, right? We do this, yes, good. Keep maintaining those vehicles, good. There's oil that we use for cooking, right? Extra virgin olive oil, or is there a thing like canola oil? Am I making, okay, canola oil, yeah. Coconut oil, yes, a little healthier, I think, right, than the olive oil, yes, okay, thanks. I thought about this morning, I didn't think about this earlier, but some of you are into essential oils, right? Essential oils, yeah, I mean, people are into that, right? The oils they use for different, like, I don't know anything about them, right? You put them, you rub them in certain kinds you use, right, for headaches or for aches and stuff like that. Is that a fair assessment? I don't know much about them. Essential oils. There's oils that you use for, you know, if you get a little abrasion or a small little cut, maybe you rub it on there. Ointments that you put on or oils and lotion that smell good. Different kinds of oils, yes? Maybe if we think about, maybe if we think about Scripture here, we think about oils and we hear the word anoint, we think about things that happened to David himself or to Saul or to others who were anointed with oil to become a king. Right? So all of those are different kinds of oil or use of oils. Unfortunately, none of them are what David is referring to here. In fact, the word there is anoint, but it's a very different word to anoint a king with oil than what David uses here for anoint. The word here for anoint really can mean to refresh. And here's what he's looking at. Some of you may or may not know this about me, but I have incredibly dry skin. And so winter, like this past week, when it is harsh and cold and dry outside, at least I was told, I didn't get outside this week, but it was pretty cold this week, yes? And when there's no humidity in the air and it's dry, that just wreaks havoc on my skin. And what happens especially is that on my right hand, my skin will crack. And just like my dad's skin, his cracks, his fingers crack. My grandpa's, they cracked as well when he was alive. So this is a hereditary thing. And in fact, sometimes if I'm playing Cajon sometimes, or if I'm at a game and I get into it, and my kids are playing the games, I'm like, yes! I'm like, ooh, there it went, right? Like, it can crack just like that. Or I've got one healing up right here from playing basketball the other day. So this is what happens to my skin. And what I do is lotion after lotion after lotion, try to apply it to bring refreshment to my skin and to rejuvenate it. And sometimes it works, sometimes I'm not so faithful at it, but that's my skin. David, I think, is referring to something a little similar here because he talks about how you anoint my head with oil. David's talking about how a host invites a guest in, and what a host would do would give to the guest something like olive oil, and after the guest has voyaged in the hot, dusty, sandy desert, and the oil was given to the guest, not to put on their hands, but to start to rub on their forehead, and then to rub on their face. And it's to get the dust off. And what would happen is it would refresh their countenance, their appearance, their face. You put oil on your face, and your face glistens and gleams. You ever have one of those pieces of furniture that you forget to dust week after week after week after week? And all of a sudden you see it, and like, oh, little pledge, wipe it down, and how it shines again? Same idea, only with oil in one's face. And David is saying that the Lord, who is this gracious host, he offers this kind of refreshment, this renewed expression, this new countenance when we're in his presence. You anoint, you refresh my head with oil. And then the last line that David writes in this psalm, he says, my cup overflows. Now, if we were a guest in the dwelling of a shepherd, we would be assured to receive as part of a meal some coffee. Very bitter. I do not like coffee anyway. This stuff, no thank you. You'd receive tea that was sweet. Some of you like maybe sweet tea. But David's not referring to either of those. He's referring to the cup of wine. Wine is a symbol of joy and of gladness and of celebration. Now, a guest who is welcomed into a home, you know there is joy. We talked about this earlier. There's a social acceptance. I belong. I'm a part of something. And then you come and you receive provision of a meal, and then you receive refreshment for your face. And so more than just being invited, more than just food, David is saying that the Lord, this gracious, this generous host, he's saying, my cup is filled again and again and again. Right? The phrase, my cup overflows, can also be translated, my cup is well filled. And so David is testifying that his cup is constantly filled, even to the point where it's overflowing. Now, this isn't about getting drunk. This isn't about David saying, I'm drinking so much, now I'm so much wine, and I'm inebriated, I'm kind of having that goofy joy. That's not what David's talking about here. David is referring to the cup of wine as a symbol of joy. And he's saying, I'm filled with joy, that I'm overflowing with gladness, that the Lord, my shepherd, this gracious host, he has welcomed me into his home. He's provided a meal for me. He's brought me refreshment, and I am glad again and again and again. I'm glad upon glad upon glad upon glad. I am filled with great joy. And then there's this final piece of the verse that we skipped over. And we've saved it for last because everything that we've talked about, the meal that the Lord provides, the refreshment the Lord offers, the joy that the Lord brings, all of that is set against this backdrop, which makes what the Lord does and is doing here so even more incredible. David says, in the presence of my enemies. Seems like such a strange addition to the verse, doesn't it? When there's all this incredible hosting that the Lord is doing, meal, oil, cup, and then in the presence of my enemies. But this too is a testimony by David. You remember that final thing, right, that we would be offered if we were a guest in a shepherd's home, right? There's provision, refreshment, joy, and it's on the screen so you know it, protection. It's kind of similar to last week. You know, last week we talked about the valley of deep darkness and how there's all these situations in life that come for us, and there's deep distress, and there's frustration, and even hurt and anger. You know, sometimes people can be that situation that causes distress. And I appreciate that David does not dismiss this as a reality. You know, that there are times when our lives are made miserable by people who oppose us, or who antagonize us, or who just like to stick it to us. Or those who are kind of like a pebble in our shoe. And whether they're threatening us, you know, hopefully not physical harm, but I know that that happens. Maybe we experience that emotional harm or mental fatigue, even spiritual fatigue. We get this, don't we? We get this when it relates to people. I mean, we maybe have never quite used the term enemies, like a warring nation has an enemy, but David uses this general term enemies. And David says here, you know, he doesn't say, you know, the Lord abolishes the enemies. He doesn't say that the Lord sweeps them away with a flick of the finger. Instead, what David says is that the meal that is provided and the refreshment that is given and the cup of joy that takes place, all of that happens in the presence of our enemies. So enemies exist. They're there. They have and they will. There will always be those who oppose us, who simply seek to make life miserable. And what David is testifying to here is so important. He's reminding us, and I would even say he's carrying a message for us. He's carrying a message not for us, but for God, our shepherd. He's carrying a message to us that's saying, yeah, there's enemies there. They will be there. They're in your life. They'll always be there. But I'm still welcoming you. I'm inviting you into my home. You're my honored guest. And even though the enemies might be gathered and circling all around our tent, you're with me. And with me, you're going to find protection and provision and refreshment and joy. Because I am welcoming you. I, the Lord, your shepherd, I am with you. And you are with me. That's the gift of hospitality. The Lord, our shepherd. It's one incredible host offering that protection and provision and refreshment and joy. That's Psalm 23, verse 5. And I love what that means for us today. And I'm not just even saying today as in general. I'm saying I love what Psalm 23, verse 5 means for us right now in this very moment, as we in just a moment come to a table that has been prepared for us by our Lord, the Lord's Supper. We are all honored guests who are invited and welcomed by the Lord, the host of this meal. And he invites all of us to come. And he invites us to receive what any host would offer. We come to this meal today and the Lord provides for us. There's bread and there's juice. It is for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a meal that testifies that through the person and work of Jesus Christ, the sins that we once carried, we carry them no more. And the forgiveness that is offered through Jesus Christ, it can be ours. The Lord provides in this meal. The Lord also offers refreshment. We're refreshed in this meal because, yes, we are eating bread, and it's literal bread, and we're drinking juice, and it is actually juice. But for those of us who follow Jesus Christ, it's so much more than that. It is a sign of God's grace. God's grace that is given to us. And in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in this meal, we receive God's grace from this meal, through this meal, grace that nourishes us, grace that strengthens us, grace that empowers us, grace that refreshes us and allows us to grow up in the way and into the likeness, to bear the same countenance as our Savior Jesus Christ. In the same meal here at the table, we are also filled with joy because this table tells the story. This table tells our story. It's our story of hope. It's our story of peace. It's our story that how God sent his one and only and perfect Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that the world might be saved through him, that he took on our sins in his death, and he gave us the gift of eternal life through his resurrection. See, at this table, our story of redemption, our story of eternal hope, this story is told at this table, and it fills us with incredible joy. And at this table, we find protection. Here's the thing, there's a reason why we celebrate. There's a reason why it is so important to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to celebrate it often. You and I, we know that we are inundated and surrounded by enemies who love nothing more than to lie and steal and to kill our joy. And the pressures that are put on us, the ways that we are torn down by others, the ruthlessness with which we are treated at times, it wears us down. But here at the table, we are reminded of our identity. And our identity is not in the label that someone gives to us. Our identity is not in the words that someone uses to tear us down. Our identity is secure in Jesus Christ. We are children of God. And at this table, we rest in the fact that Jesus Christ, he protects us, and we're joined together in Christ at this table. We're joined together in him and with him in this intimate meal, a meal that's prepared for us by our shepherd, a meal that is in which we find refreshment, in which we are filled with grace, we are filled with joy. See, friends, the Lord, our shepherd, has prepared a meal for all of us today. We are his honored guests. We are invited to come. And when we come, we will receive provision, refreshment, joy, and protection. And so today, let's rest in the hospitality of our loving and gracious shepherd. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.